He just told no.
You did a good job yesterday.
That was your
thank you. Everybody find the seat? Okay, first item up today is House Bill 5033, Housing and Community Services Department. Senator Hammond.
Oh, yes, Mr. Chairman, members. House Bill 5033 is the budget bill for the Housing and Community Services Department. This department assists in financing affordable housing. It also administers federal and state programs to alleviate homelessness and poverty and administers the state's mobile home park ombudsman program. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends a budget of $112.4 million total funds for operations and $809.7 million non-limited funds. The operating budget includes $14 million general funds, which is 12.4% of the budget, $32.1 million or 28.6% other funds, and $66.3 million or 58.9% federal funds. Your subcommittee approved the governor's budget except for policy packages that added $5 million in the Housing Trust Fund for affordable housing and $25.7 million of lottery revenue bonds for the governor's livability initiative. Your subcommittee deleted 841,000 debt service on the lottery bonds, and your subcommittee approved all other packages, including one that had four positions to support the Community Solutions Team. Funding for these positions in the governor's budget are T21 funds, which the subcommittee disapproved. The department had identified other transportation planning money for two positions and bond spread resources for the other two positions. The general fund match for the transportation funds is $26,571. The subcommittee also made reductions in general fund to reflect the 4% reductions in administration and other minor other funds and federal funds reductions to reflect the $2 per hour reduction in the Attorney General's rate. To underscore its support of two programs, your subcommittee added $1 other funds housing trust fund in case other resources are identified later. It also added $1 each general fund and other funds for the Oregon Food Bank in support of additional funding should it become available for acquisition of food and construction of the food bank's distribution facility. Your subcommittee increased federal funds expenditure limitations of $4.7 million to accommodate an expected increase in federal funds. Also approved was packages that allow the department to enhance its technology capabilities, improve its ability to partner with communities, increase its oversight of properties in which it has a financial interest, and finance relocation of the department to a state-owned space. All other programs are continued at the current service level, and we would recommend approval.
Thank you, Senator Hammond. Are there any questions? Comments? Questions, comments? Are there any no votes on House Bill 5033? At the record show, Representative Slater is the only no vote on 5033. House Bill 5060, Department of Higher Education, Engineering Education. Representative Minow.
Good morning. House Bill 5060 appropriates $5 million of general fund to the Emergency Board to expand engineering education at the Oregon University System. Oregon faces a shortage of engineers and engineering technicians. This is a national problem that is especially serious here given the rapid growth of our state's high technology sector. Last session, the legislature passed Senate Bill 504 to help address this issue. Senate Bill 504 established the Engineering and Technology Industry Council to coordinate efforts to extend engineering education with the needs of the state's high technology industry. House Bill 5060 continues the process begun last session with Senate Bill 504. The $5 million contained in House Bill 5060 is earmarked for new engineering programs. The Engineering and Technology Industry Council will forward a recommendation for the use of the funds to the State Board of Higher Education, which will bring a proposal to the Emergency Board. The proposal to the Emergency Board includes the leverage of private resources for engineering education as envisioned in Senate Bill 504. The subcommittee also indicated that the $5 million is not to be included in higher education's current service level next biennium. The subcommittee believes that both the Engineering and Technology Industry Council and the legislature should review the program started under this bill before funding for them is continued. House Bill 5060 provides needed funds to help Oregon address demands for new engineering programs, and the Education Subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions? Senator Trump. Chair and members, I just wanted to comment in terms of the discussions before the committee. We talked about the need for expanding the undergraduate engineering programs at the various institutions. There's a lot of demand for engineering. There are lots of students who don't get into those programs because there's just not room in them. And so one of the things that the people who were there very much interested in engineering said that they wanted to explore and probably would be recommending would be not just new programs but more access to existing programs.
I might make the comment, Senator Crow, that in the higher ed budget that is taken into consideration as far as the models and to those different areas that the cost for education per student is higher as that funds that.
Okay. Any further questions, comments, Representative Ross?
I voted yes in committee and will vote yes here. I'm a strong supporter of engineering. I am embarrassed by the fact that we are accepting this proposal with no specificity, that we are saying to these people, well, if you get a plan together, we'll be happy to fund you. And every other program, we demand support. We demand data. These people have known for over 6 weeks that they were going to get this $5 million. They've had a lot of opportunities to get themselves together and say, we don't have a final plan, but this is what we believe we will do. The witnesses were unable in committee even to give a hypothetical proposal about what they would do with this fund. Also, one comment I would make is that I think that this is a partnership. It's a part of a continuum. And the testimony of the chair of the subcommittee emphasized meeting the needs of industry. I think that's very important. But another piece of this is meeting the needs of our students and helping our students come from the continuum. And I was very happy this week to go to a wonderful celebration at PSU of their Math, Engineering, Science, and Achievement program, the MESA program, in which PSU works with youngsters starting in the sixth grade to help them. And the room was full of minority, poor students, their parents, and they were all very enthusiastic about the learning opportunities they were having, the fun they were having, and they had a number of graduates who'd come back who'd started in the sixth grade, and now they're employed. They're engineers. They're successful people. The room was about one-fourth Native American, there were Chinese, Spanish-speaking, students of color, and it was a wonderful opportunity. So I think that this piece is a piece in the continuum of helping our young people in Oregon get high-paying jobs and get their potential. And so I hope that the fact that these people did not come to us with any specificity. I hope that will be forthcoming, and we will look to the e-board to be sure that the quality and the plan is there. Thank you, Madam Chair, for letting me make that extended statement.
Mr. Chair,
okay. Well, you're always
very welcome. Representative Lincoln.
I just felt it's important to clarify one aspect of the Engineering Technology Industry Council that's going to be distributing this money. It's a partnership of private industry and the universities, and it works very well. And they take on specific projects after they discuss them. I mean, I guess I would take just almost the opposite viewpoint. I wouldn't want them to rush here knowing a month ago that they had $5 million to spend and come up with some list of projects to tell us that they're going to spend the money on. The whole purpose is for them to collaborate with the private sector, the public and private sectors to collaborate together and spend this money wisely. And I have a lot of confidence in them. And they have to come forward to the board anyway before they can spend the money with the plan. So I do think this is a well-thought-out plan, and I enthusiastically support it, and I appreciate the co-chair's interest in it.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any further Representative?
I just wanted to reiterate what Representative Leonard said. They will be coming to the E-Board with a plan before we release the funds. And the other side of that is they're also going to be raising private sector dollars to leverage the $5 million. So they'll find good things to do with this money. And I just want to assure the committee we're not going to release the funds until we have the plan and they'll come before the E-Board.
Okay. Thank you, Representative. Are there any further comments or questions?
Brief comment. This is something that I feel very strongly about, too, and I really appreciate the comments of Representative Ross about the MESA program at PSU. My education was mostly in math and science, which did allow me to go into engineering and work in a high-tech field, and it is something I have just felt deeply for a long time, that we have opportunities, real good opportunities in the state for our young people in these careers, but it is a continuum. You do have to get people at a young age into math and science, because if you wait to get to the college level, it's too late. And I just really want to encourage us to continue to work with this industry and continue to work on providing good jobs for Oregonians, good high-paying jobs. And it's an opportunity for all of us, and I'm very proud to be passing this budget today.
Thank you, Co-Chair Lewis. Any further comments or questions? Are there any no votes on House Bill 5060? Hearing none and seeing none, 5060 is passed. Senate Bill 5526, Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Senator Fisher is not here yet, so we will carry that over. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 156 relating to fees paid to the State Board of Accountancy. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Subcommittee on General Government brings us Senate Bill 156, which is the State Board of Accountancy. There are 800 county firms and 6,300 CPAs and PAs in the state of Oregon, all of whom are regulated and controlled by the State Board of Accountancy. This bill increases by $50 per biennium the fees paid by each of the licensees, the initial and typical license, moving from $100 to $150 per biennium. License renewals from $100 to $150, and initial firm registrations from $50 to $100. These fees increases are supported by the licensees and will enhance the level of services offered by the licensees and their professional organizations. They were last increased in 1991 and 1993, respectively. The fee increases were anticipated in the governor's recommended budget. For the Board of Accountancy and included in the budget approved by this committee. The Department of Administrative Service agreed to unschedule and increase expenditures pending passage of Senate Bill 156. When we reviewed the budget for the Board of Accountancy, the General Government Subcommittee felt the increased fees were warranted and needed. The General Government Subcommittee is unanimous in its support for the bill and recommends approval. As a CPA and a licensee, I wish to represent the conflict of interest in Senate Bill 156. I do support it personally.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions, comments? Are there any no votes on Senate Bill 156? None and seeing none, passed. Senate Bill 187 relating to
Savings Education, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 187 was passed out of committee for the general, the subcommittee for general government, and there's since arisen a question and a concern relative to a portion of the bill related to order and revised statute 293.270 relative to money from private donations. And I'd make a motion at this time that we move the this bill, which is related to savings education, back to subcommittee.
Okay, a motion is made by Representative Butler to send Senate Bill 187 back to the subcommittee. Are there any no votes? Question? Representative Roberts.
Hi.
No.
Yeah. Is the maker of the motion willing to explain the reason this needs to go back to committee?
There is a question relative to order revised statute 293.270, which refers back to 293.265 relative to amounts of contributions from private parties. And it's anticipated that all of the funding for Senate Bill 187 would come from private parties, not from any governmental funds.
Okay, that answers your question, Representative Ross.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions, comments? Any no votes to referring this bill back to committee? Hearing none, and see next bill up is Senate Bill 239.
Okay, Senate Bill 239. Senator Timms is carrying this bill.
Okay, Senate Bill 239 relating to liquid petroleum gas. It increases the LP gas-related licenses for the first time since 1974. This increase will fund more fire marshal inspections of liquid petroleum gas tank installations. The number of these tank installations have more than doubled in the last 10 years. This fee increase is supported by industry representatives. The Public Safety Subcommittee adopted amendments which exempt from inspection by the fire marshal's office LP gas installations made during construction of manufactured homes and recreational vehicles. This amendment is necessary because the Building Codes Division, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, already conducts these inspections. The governor's recommended budget and the legislatively approved budget for the Oregon State Police includes the other funds expenditure limitations and position authority needed to implement this bill. Public Safety Subcommittee unanimously recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Timms. Are there any questions for Senator Timms on this bill? Okay, hearing and seeing none, are there any objections to the passage of Senate Bill 239? Hearing and seeing none, Senate Bill 239 has passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Timms will carry on the Senate side, and Representative Provansky will carry on the House side. I will just bang the table. Okay. Next up is Senate Bill 240, Senator Timms.
Senate Bill 240 allows reports submitted electronically by the Oregon State Police with a digital signature to be admitted into evidence by the courts. Documents can only be sent with a digital signature using authentication software. The Oregon State Police would purchase the computer hardware and software necessary to send documents with a digital signature for approximately $64,000 in 1999-01. This amount includes the cost of providing digital signature software to all 36 district attorney's offices and up to 100 public safety agencies. Submitting reports electronically will result in services and supply savings from generating and mailing reports produced on paper. The Public Safety Subcommittee reviewed the bill along with the fiscal impact and unanimously recommends approval. Both the governor's recommended budget and the legislatively approved budget the Oregon State Police include funding to implement this bill. Urge passage of Senate Bill 248.
Thank you, Senator Timms. Are there any questions for Senator Timms on Senate Bill 240? Okay, hearing and seeing none, are there any objections to the passage of Senate Bill 240? Boy, we're quiet this morning. Okay, Senate Bill 240 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation. On the House side, Representative Patrick Perry and Senator Gordley will agree on the Senate side.
Okay. Senate Bill 242 relating to urine tests, Senator Hammond.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, this bill relates to the current standards that are outdated and could be interpreted to require unnecessary high level of testing. This is to reflect Senator Perry's bill, highway maintenance, and it has the net effect of reducing the state police budget by $290,000 by doing a lower standard rather than a high standard. We won't know whether it's apple juice or urine. And the department's legislative-approved budget assumes passage of this bill.
Thank you, Senator Hannon. Any questions and comments in regards to Senate Bill 242?
Please, no.
Seeing none, Senate Bill 242 is passed. House Bill 2095 relating to fees collected by Teacher Standard and Practices Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Drove.
House Bill 2095 increases the maximum limit for certain fees that can be charged by the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. The statutory ceiling on the Commission's licensure fees were last increased in 1991 when the ceiling was raised from $35 to $60. At that time, the late filing fee was also increased from $10 to $15. In 1991, the licensure fee was raised to $45. In 1994, the licensure fee was raised to the limit of $60. The Commission's 1999-01 budget is based on the $60 licensure fee, and this will cause it to have to reduce cash reserves below the recommended 3-month balance at the end of this biennium. The Commission expects that it will need to increase its licensure fee in the 2001 to balance its anticipated 2001-03 budget needs. Increasing the statutory limit prior to the 2001-03 biennium will allow the Commission to increase fees by rules and incorporate them in the 2001-03 budget request. Your subcommittee drafted the A1 amendments to make July 1, 2001 the effective date for the increased fee limits to ensure that fees are not increased during this biennium. Your Education Subcommittee is unanimous in support of this bill and recommends approval of HB 2095 as amended.
Thank you, Senator Trill. Any questions, comments? Any no votes on House Bill 2095? Hearing none and seeing none, it's passed. House Bill 2525 relating to administrative proceedings, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Subcommittee on General Government brings you House Bill 2525, which is a pilot project for the State Central Hearing Panel. The 128 hearings employees employed in seven different state agencies and boards are merged under House Bill 2525 into a Central Hearing Panel for a 4-year pilot project. The seven agencies include the Department of Transportation, Water Resources, Human Resources, Foreign Business Services, Employment, Oregon Measure Control Commission, and the Construction Contractors Board. The Oregon Department of Employment, with 52 of the 128, that's 41% of the hearings officers, will be the agency of direct supervision and oversight under the capacity and direction of Director Berlina Crosby. Additional eight employees will be required to administer the pilot program, which is expected to lend both higher levels of credibility and expertise in the hearing process, plus a sense of added independence and fairness to our constituents who may need to avail themselves of these valuable resources provided by state agencies and boards. The base cost of administering House Bill 2525 is transferred from each of the department's current budgets in a total amount of $20,163,680 to accommodate the Central Hearings Panel
by the overhead to administer the 8 additional employees and enhance training and additional professional education of $2,090,392 is being provided by an assessment. Among the 7 agencies, an additional $553,230 from other funds, federal funds, and through the Department of Employment. Total costs and expenditure limitations increased to the Department of Employment is a total of $20,715,910. Total additional general fund costs for the state, the hearings panel for 1999-01 biennium is $106,877, which amount is already included in the, included and accounted for in the various agency assessments. This is to accommodate the general fund portion of the Department of Human Resources, Adult and Family Services is $79,315, Water Resources is $27,562, assessment, all of which comes from the general fund. Representative Lane Federley has worked closely with the affected agencies and boards, as well as the governor's office, in the interim to fully develop and unshake many of the wrinkles that there were in the central hearing panel concept. The general government subcommittee recommends the full Ways and Means Committee passage of 2525.
Thank you, Representative Butler. Are there any questions or comments in regards to House Bill 2525? Senator Bryan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hold that for my voice. In 97, we passed a bill that would have created a central hearing officer panel. And that was vetoed, but in the veto message, the governor said, it's a good idea. I'll work with you in the interim to come up with something and put together an interim group. Lane Shetterly took a lead on that from the legislative standpoint, and I was glad it was involved. What you have before you today are the dash 844 amendments. And David Schumann from the AG's office was involved. She's glad in the this bill was carefully studied, compromised, and I think it will work very well. If you recall, in 95, we began this process with the hearings officers from the Department of Revenue. And then the problem is, and was, and the perception is, that when you have a hearing and it's with the department employee, and the hearings officer is someone who is in the building as an agency that you have the contestant dispute with, and they share staff, lunch, coffee, it's not a good feeling if you're an advocate or a citizen at all. And other states have gone to this independent process, and I think we will get not only an improved public discussion by having an independent hearing officer situation, but also to get fairer and better decisions. And I think it will also help the system with agencies so that they'll be more careful as they advance issues and present claims. They know they will be reviewed by an independent hearing.
Thank you, Senator Bryan. Any further comments or questions? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask the question on how it affects the real estate board. I have a couple of letters in my file that are concerned for the real estate board that they be not want to be included in this.
Okay. Mr. Butler, can you handle that, or do you want to start?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As the only of the private boards and private licensing boards that was included was the construction contractors board. The other boards were intentionally left out at this particular time. It's anticipated that those boards have their own independent arbitrators at this particular point, and it's my understanding that there's, am I upside down? I better come back to staff.
Okay, staff.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Adrian Sexton, Legislative Fiscal Office. To Representative Miserly's question, the transferred employees are coming from a set number of agencies. However, all agencies, unless otherwise exempted specifically by the measure, must use the central hearing panels for contested case hearings.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I can add some light to that.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Bryant?
this bill is a compromise, and as we were drafting it, there were too many drafts. There were a few agencies that said we're comfortable with the existing situation and run out of the bill. And the difficulty then is, well, where do you surgically draw this line? And it was the decision that we need to, that the title project, we need to keep them in. And that's a compromise. I wanted to include bullying. And the decision was, for those independently elected offices, at this point we wouldn't include them, and that also includes them the Secretary of State's office, which I would have preferred to include. But if you begin dropping professional groups and more want advocacy for people, so the feeling was that you should consider to your game. And that's just basically where we had to play.
Okay, thank you. Senator Bryant, Representative
Schrader. I guess I have some concerns. I laud the tremendous efforts that Representative Shirley and the Governor's Office have put forward on this, but nowhere in the bill here that we have before us is a talk about the other health-related boards, and that's been a concern of mine all along. I mean, I've worked a lot with legislative fiscal trying to establish what would be the fiscal impact in all these small boards. And apparently I think the cost is going to be significant. Some of them already conduct their hearings through the Employment Division, but there are a number of others that I'm worried about. I'd point out that here to do basically the same job, it's going to cost $20 million more. And I'm not sure I understand that. Maybe I'm misreading the bill. And I have concerns, I guess, the carrier, how that's going to be handled. Where are we getting the money, basically, to be doing this? I know, for instance, in the transportation budget, there's $900,000 that goes to the Central Hearings Panel to the Employment Division, and yet they're going to keep $900,000 to administer the very same program. I understand the contractual nature that's been talked about, but why do we have to have the administrative portion in both budgets? That should be transferred from one to the other.
I
beg your pardon with regard to this concern that was expressed earlier. The Employment Department is handling a number of the, and that's why they have the 52, they're handling a number of those other investigation hearings. The total additional amount that is actually being assessed is a total of $2,090,392 for the various agencies, and then there is an additional amount that comes from the other funds and federal funds for the Employment Department itself to transfer its full staff from the unemployment insurance, a total of $553,230. Now, with regard to any of the other boards, I don't know what proportion each of the various smaller boards bear of the $2,090,000, but the total cost being transferred from the various departments is a total of the $20,716,910, which is the additional expenditure limitation for the Department of Employment.
Okay. Representative Schrader?
Just a follow-up on that. I'd like to ask LFO, in that $2,090,000 figure, does that include any of the anticipated costs from the small boards?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schrader, no, it does not. The $2.1 million additional cost is the additional cost being paid by the transferring agencies. All other agencies that are required to use the Central Hearing Panel will be charged on a fee-for-service basis. It would be approximately $55 an hour at this time that would be their contract cost. And for those agencies, the Occupational and Regulatory Board that are currently contracting with other agencies for their hearing services, they may reach approximate same cost. We don't know. It depends on whether they're contracting with a state agency at about the same price or whether they're
contracting with an independent contract judge or administrative law judge that might be at actually at a higher rate.
I'll ask that to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Will there be any additional assessments on the smaller boards to help administer this new central hearings panel?
Mr. Chair and Representative Schrader, it's not an assessment as in a pro rata cost of something. The administrative cost for the central hearings panel will be factored into the per hour cost that is the contract rate with the participating agency.
Then explain to me, I appreciate that. I want to get that on the record. There wouldn't be any separate assessment. So that is important for these smaller boards because that filters down and becomes a big expense for them. With regard to the Department of Transportation, has that changed? When we were looking at that budget, we noted that we're going to transfer $900,000 to the Employment Division to handle this. And then at the same time retain $900,000 to contract with the Employment Division to do the hearings. So am I in error in that statement?
Mr. Chair and Representative Schrader, the appearance of the dollars in both budgets reflects that the cost of the position is not transferred. That is, the dollars associated with the positions from the Employment Department, Water Resources, Motor Vehicles, Oregon Liquor Control Commission, et cetera. The positions are transferred to the Central Hearings Panel. The agencies that are transferring their positions are still responsible for paying the direct cost of those positions. So the dollar amount for the, relative to those positions remains with the transferring agency. The cumulative effect is that those other funds expenditures by the transferring agency will be received by the Department of Employment for purposes of operating the Central Hearing Panel and will be expended by the Department of Employment, again, as an other funds expenditure.
So just if I may paraphrase that,
so
there's really no increased dollars involved here. All we're talking about is an expenditure limitation allow two different agencies to use basically the same funds as they go through the year and contract with one another to get the work done.
Mr. Chair, Representative Schrader, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Representative Schrader, good question. Any further questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
I have a question. I want to know if the Medical Examiner's Board, if the hearing is included in the central unit or not.
The Medical Examiner?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Examiner's Board.
Medical Examiner's Board, I'm assuming that that's probably coming through the Employment Department as well.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, the Board of Medical Examiners has not been exempted from the requirement to use the central hearing panel. So it because the case hearings should be conducted on a contract basis with the central hearing panel.
So they are included in the central unit hearing.
Right. Okay. Senator Cho.
Mr. Chair, as we dealt with this transfer of authority in our subcommittee, we realized that we were dealing with a pilot program as a four-year livelihood and then will be reconsidered. One of the things that we suggested there would be that there would be some sort of way to measure its success. And although we did not amend the bill to provide some measurement criteria, we did suggest that in the bill's narrative and also I presume that when the bill is on the floor, there will be discussion of some performance expectations for the bill. And when we reconsider it in 4 years, I hope that we would remember those. Representative Shetterly was very good to take part in drafting those, so those meet his approval.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Trope. Any further comments or questions? If we have a roll call vote on this bill, House Bill 2525, Mike?
Yes.
Aye.
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 call minutes? No.
No.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3141 requires the director of the Employment Department to adopt rules pertaining permitting employers in situations when a portion of a firm or business is separated from the old firm or business to use either the original firm's unemployment insurance tax rate or a new business unemployment insurance tax rate. The director determines the business transfer was made solely to qualify for a reduced tax rate or if either the predecessor or the successor employment unit is delinquent with tax payments or reports, the director is required to deny the application for partial transfer of the experience and payroll. The bill establishes effective dates and permits credits against future contributions to funds rather than refunds of amounts overpaid as a result of retroactive provisions. The Legislative Fiscal Office estimates an increase in operational costs of about $900,000, primarily a result of information systems programming changes. The Employment Department is authorized by House Bill 3141 to, as amended, to apply for federal READ Act funds for the purpose of implementing the provisions of the bill. If funds are received, the department will need to seek additional expenditure limitation from the emergency board. The agency will absorb the cost if additional funds are not received by adjusting workload priorities. The measure is expected to reduce specific employers' tax assessments without a corresponding increase in tax assessments for other employers.
Thank you, Senator Kutak. Is there any questions or comments? Senator Hanley.
Mr. Chairman, members, we dealt with this in our Transportation Economic Subcommittee. This bill primarily affects those businesses today in Oregon who choose to split off their main business and form another business, thereby qualifying for a higher rate on unemployment tax rather than maintaining the same rate, as the carrier indicated. There was concern expressed by the Employment Division. We directed them to come back to the first emergency board meeting with limited duration positions and indicate what funds may in fact be available. There's a reference here to the READ Act. READ Act are federal funds that might in fact be available to implement the provisions of this. To address the concerns of the governor and the department, we indicated in the subcommittee that it was not our intention to create a mandate without making the positions available. And so that they're supposed to come back to the e-board with the e-board's concurrence. We may have to even postpone the effective time of implementing all this, but the information systems positions are critical to the implementation of this bill. The simple reason that they have the Y2K problems they're trying to address, and they need these additional limited duration staff positions to implement this because you have to recode the employer's tax code number. It's a good bill. Primarily it was introduced, I believe it's requested Nike, who's spinning off another corporation. And it would be my sincere hope that we support it and pass it out.
Thank you, Senator Haley. Any further comments or questions? Are there any no votes on House Bill 3141? Seeing none and seeing none, it's passed. House Bill 3383 relating to Board of Boiler Rules, Representative Lenders.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3383A in gross expands the types of cuts of piping to be regulated and directs the Board of Boiler Rules to set minimum safety standards substantially equal to those adopted by the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. The Board of Boiler Rules has oversight of the Boiler Safety Program of the Building Codes Division of the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs. Department of Consumer and Business Services. The boiler safety program regulates boilers, pressure vessels, and pressurized piping systems that may pose a hazard if not properly installed, maintained, and regulated. To date, the Board of Boiler Rules has adopted rules to regulate steam piping systems only. Change in technology has increased use of pressurized piping system using toxic substances, one of the more common ones being liquid ammonia used in refrigerant piping systems. This measure expands the types of pressure piping to be regulated and directs the board to set minimum safety standards substantially equal to those adopted by the American Society of Mechanical Engineers and its code for pressure piping. There was no testimony in opposition to the bill. Cost of regulation is to be paid from permit sales and inspection fees. After the bill becomes law, the board can come to the e-board with its proposed budget for additional expenditure limitation. Your education subcommittee is unanimous in its support of this bill and recommends approval of House Bill 3383A in gross.
Thank you, Representative Leonard. Any questions? Comments? Any no votes? Not. House Bill 3383 is passed. Next bill up is Senate Bill 5526, Long-Term Care Ombudsman. We're hoping Senator Fisher would be able to be here, but Senator Cusab is going to carry it to his back.
Senate Bill 5526 is a budget bill for the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, and the Long-Term Care Ombudsman investigates complaints, mediates and resolves disagreements between residents and operators, and monitors care in nursing, residential care, and assisted living facilities, as well as adult foster care homes. The agency is funded with general funds. It is used to match federal Medicaid and Older Americans Act funds. In addition, the agency has a modest amount of other funds that were generated from a one-time donation and legal settlement. The total budget for the Ombudsman's office is $1,730,055, slightly higher than the governor's recommended budget. The general fund portion of the budget, however, is about $123,000 less than the governor's budget. Additional Older Americans Act funds and other funds were used to replace the general fund. The proposed budget includes the three policy packages in the governor's recommended budget. These packages are the upward reclassification of the ombudsman's position, additional funding for attorney general costs, and an enhancement in the agency's information systems that would link it to an internet and state electronic mail system. The budget report includes two budget notes. The first recommends that the Joint Legislative Audit Committee review all state ombudsman functions. The second requires the ombudsman to report annually on agency activities and cases to the Interim Health and Human Services Committee. The Subcommittee on Human Resources urges that.
Thank you, Senator Cuta. Any comments, questions? Senator Yee.
Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned with the additional funding for the Attorney General. Because basically the ombudsman's function is to visit, to act as advocate for the nursing home clients, and they make sure that quality of service is maintained and try to resolve problems at very basic local level, maybe between the supervisor of staff and the client or the client's family. So they report any serious cases to senior and disabled services for investigation. During committee hearing, the ombudsman indicated that a lot of the providers like to involve their attorneys at the very initial level, and therefore attorney general services are requested to represent the ombudsman. So during when they make their annual report to the emergency board, will they include instances where they involve attorney general to the emergency board so we can think of ways to possibly reduce cost of attorney? Because this time it's increased from about $2,000 to $7,000. And will they include these instances where attorney general fees are used in their report?
Senator Yee, I think that is a very good idea. It was not included in the budget note, but I would certainly think that we can request that of the long-term care. I would be very interested in that as well. So while it isn't in the budget note, certainly the agency could add those particular fees, and I think that is a legitimate request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would agree with that also.
I would say the way the budget note is written, it says that the report will include a description of the sources and types of cases received by the agency, how the cases were resolved, including the timing of disposition. So I would say that if we specifically, as we have here today, put it on the record that we should understand when the Attorney General is involved in these cases, I think it really is encompassed in the budget note if we're specific about it here today, because we are asking the report on the cases and how they're resolved.
Yes, just from the intent of the committee is there to include Attorney General's report.
And I appreciate you bringing this up, Senator, because we didn't actually talk about it when we talked about the budget note. However, I would agree with the co-chair that it could very well be a portion of this, and placing it on the record today gives that message.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay. Further questions, comments on Senate Bill 5526? Are there any no votes on Senate Bill 5526? Hearing none and seeing none, passed. That concludes. I have an award today to present. It's called the First Budget Veto Awarded to Representative Karen Minnan, the Chair of the Education Commission.
So he can take with.
Great job, Karen.
5-7.
He got 5 more today.
With that, the Mr. Chairman, prior to adjourning, if the if the Transportation and Economic Development Committee members will go to our usual and customary meeting room, we will convene.